Just want to say I was looking for my little music stand, and I discovered this, and I'm still, like, geeking out over it. It's beautiful. And what you can't read is at the top it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." May the word be preached well from whoever stands behind this podium. Peace in our time. Peace in our time. These words were declared over 100 years ago by Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain after visiting with the German Chancellor Adolf Hitler. 11 months later, Germany would be at war with the world. They would invade France, and England and Poland would immediately declare war on Hitler's Germany. All long for peace. Every generation seeks it. And yet the unexpected happens. 100 years ago, it would have been World War I with the Spanish flu. 70 million would die collectively in the course of a couple of years. 25 years later, World War II, the war that should not have happened, 80 million would perish. Fast forward 25 years more, several wars, a Cold War, civil unrest marked another generation. Almost 20 years later, 9/11 would take place, economic downturn and uncertainty. Life would fundamentally change like no one expected. And in the midst of all of that, in our advances in science, technology, progressive thought and thinking, we find ourselves today in a world fatigued, depressed, worried, lost and overwhelmed by the unexpected, the unimaginable. We want peace. And often when we hear the word peace, we think of the absence of war. But peace in the Bible is more than that. The peace that God brings and Jesus speaks of. In the Hebrew mind of the Old Testament, the word was shalom. It means complete, whole, restored, no gaps, like a wall that's not missing a stone. Peace is not an absence in Scripture of conflict. Instead, peace is something better that is given and taken on, and it completes us and who we are called to be. You and I, as followers of Christ, are called to be people of peace. We all face personal challenges and changes, unexpected circumstances that become impossibilities in our lives that we lay in bed at night and we think about, how will I handle this? What will I do? What is my recourse? Our kids change school schedules, throw us off. An unexpected bill that we didn't count for, a betrayal of a friend potentially, a bad doctor's report, or in the world that we find ourselves now, it may be struggling with isolation. How do you and I find peace in the midst of the unexpected that becomes impossible? This morning, I want to ask and look at that question with you. How can we find peace in the impossible? How, for those who follow Christ, how does Jesus change everything for us? This morning, I want to look at Luke. We've been journeying through Luke as we head toward Christmas. I'll be in chapter 1. I'm going to begin in verse 26. And we're going to see the impossible in a young girl's life, the unexpected. And we're going to unpack how she responds. And it would be a good word for us today to follow in her footsteps. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. I had several people come up to me after 2 weeks ago, and they were like, who in the world is Zacharias? He's the same person as Zechariah. We just had a different name in the translations. So I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard. You feel free to look on your phones or pull out your copy of God's Word. Starting in verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondservant, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." How can you and I, as followers of Christ, be different than the world while we experience the same things as the world? The first, how can we find peace? You and I can trust that God has a plan. Are there alternatives to that? I personally think not. Meet someone who doesn't know Jesus, and if they're coming apart at the seams, they have no plan. They have no recourse. Because we believe in Christ, we know that there is a plan. There is reason behind what we are seeing in the world today. Here we see Gabriel and Mary. Gabriel tells Mary something unexpected, that she's going to have a baby. It is impossible for this to happen, that she would conceive a son. In verses 26 and 27, look at 27, it says, "To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary." We're familiar with this story. We probably hear it almost every year. But let me pause for a second. God sends Gabriel. We've seen Gabriel a couple weeks ago come to Zechariah. He comes to a place called Galilee. Now, I need to help you all figure out Galilee in your mind. Okay, you ready? Ville Platte is Galilee. Just everything that just came, that's Galilee. If you lived in Jerusalem, that was the center of the Jewish world. It was where the temple was. It was the capital. It was the city of David. But to come to Galilee would be the equivalent of Ville Platte. To a virgin, it says in 27, the word here in the Greek for virgin means young woman. Mary was young. Individuals and commentators will speculate on this, but she was here in the Greek specifically, the word means young woman. She was engaged. That doesn't fit real well with our ears. Maybe my great-grandmother would understand the idea of engagement, but it was this betrothal. There was a waiting period before she and her carpenter groom-to-be would be married. It also mentions David. Here, if we're listening to the story, we're piqued. Our interest is piqued because coming out of David's line, this was the kingly line. Good things happened out of the line of Judah that David had come out of. The angel declares, favored one in verse 28. And Mary is confused in verse 29. The text says that she is filled with uncertainty. She doesn't even know the message yet. Just in the greeting, Mary wonders. Mary wonders. You see, I think Mary had a plan. Her plan was to wait a while. Get married to this young man, Joseph. Start a family. Live a normal life. And all of a sudden, an angel with a message. The angel tells her in verse 30, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus." The angel clarifies his greeting. He gives the message. And my friends, this morning, wherever you sit, God has a plan for your life as well. COVID has not derailed it. Can I say it again? God has a plan for your life, and COVID has not derailed it. Now, fortunate for you and me, it's not the plan he had for Mary. It is another plan. And friends, regardless of the circumstances, Jesus wants to be our peace. Verse 34, Mary says to the angel, How can this be since I am a virgin? Here, the word virgin in the Greek means virgin, not young woman. Luke uses two different words and he's making two different points. She was young and she had not known a man. This would be a miraculous thing. It would be an impossible for Mary's life. And for you and I, God, when he steps in and he does what he plans to do, it often perplexes us. We struggle. We have a plan, and then God orchestrates his plan. But he always has a plan. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, it continues 35, 36, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." But look at 37, "For nothing will be impossible with him." I love that. It is not left to you and I to figure out what's going on. We can't figure out our impossibles. They're impossible. Yet it is in the midst of the impossible that we are to anchor our hope into God's word and his character. And that makes us different than everyone else. In the midst of the impossibles, we find ourselves always at a crossroads. We ask the question, what? We ask the question, how? If it's painful, we say, why, God? And at the end, God always offers a who. I am. Watch Mary's response in 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I love her response. The unexpected has happened. Matter of fact, it's an impossible. It has changed her plan. And yet her response is to draw strength from God's character and His Word. I was doing a little reading yesterday, and the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, in June, half a year ago, provided the statistics that 40% of adults in America are struggling with mental health right now. That was 6 months ago. Another statistic that caught me was 25% of adults, of young adults, 18 to 24, 25% have contemplated suicide. That's stunning. Fast forward, and some didn't get their expectations for Thanksgiving. Some will not get their expectations for Christmas. Yet, friends, for us, we live in the same world. We are seeing the same things. We have a source of strength. That is God's Word and His character. It is not a mistake that as we move toward 2021, this church, its leadership, is going to call you to be in God's Word. It is the antidote, as Kurt said. It may not change our circumstances, but this is where we find peace because of Him as followers of Christ. Over the next couple weeks, as we approach the new year in 2021, be praying, what would God be calling you to do to be getting into His Word, to be anchoring yourself for whatever comes in 2021 so that you can have peace? One of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to read through Psalms in the first 150 days and invite anybody who wants to journey with me through that. That's a chapter a day, not too rough. Some of you may say, hey, I've got extra time on my hands. I've never read through the entire Bible. It won't be easy, but you could do it. We also know where we're going with our preaching. We're going to go through the book of Joshua where faith triumphs over fear. And we could be reading ahead together in that. But my friends, let it not just be for us and me and you to be in the Word. May we be taking others here. There are believers around us who are looking for hope, and they're struggling to go deep here. You could be the solution to walk along with them. Mary anchors her hope in God's character and God's Word. How do we find peace? Trust that God has a plan and anchor ourselves here. Second, how do we find peace in the impossible? Draw strength and courage from God's people. From God's people. In the next part of the passage, Mary gets up, I like what the text says, in a hurry. Even though she's responded well to God, she's wondering, she's trying to figure what's going to happen. She's looking for confidence, she set her trajectory, and now she's looking for strength and courage. And she shows up at Elizabeth's. 39 through 40, Gabriel had mentioned that an older relative was pregnant, as if to say, nothing is impossible with God, Mary. In verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in the womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The first to worship Jesus was a baby in utero. First, to acknowledge the creator and giver and sustainer of all life is found here. And then in 42 and 40 through 45, God uses the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth and John to comfort, to strengthen, to speak a word to Mary, to give her courage. God uses his people because followers of Christ have the Holy Spirit in them. There is power to be had there to lend strength. One of the reasons that we pray at the end of the service, it's not just the prayer, it is the interaction of two saints here before the Lord. Elizabeth speaks a blessing. Oh, to be Elizabeth, the right person, the right word, at the right time. Words that are life-giving. In the midst of the unexpected and the impossible, often what you and I will do is we circle the wagons because it feels painful. So we become insulary and we push others out. That's not what Mary did in the midst of her chaos. She goes to someone who's walking well with the Lord. In the midst of the impossible, lean into the godly. Lean into the godly in the midst of your impossible because you will know that you are not alone. And a burden is better carried together. Another, as we approach 2021, we're encouraging the entire body in the midst of COVID when we can't connect to get in a group. This church has tons of groups that are centered around the Bible. And there seems to be more and more developing. Bible studies, small groups, women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies, prayer studies, tiny groups of individuals. COVID cannot stop that. Only we can. Only you and I can choose to not engage. I was thinking about this in my own life. I am currently walking through a transition, a major life transition at 41. I looked at Catherine the other day and I said, how come this is so hard? I said, we've done this 5 times in 20 years and this is as hard or harder. And she looked at me as if to say, well, dum-dum, you're older. She's usually right. She would never use those words. You know, we were even on a walk last night, and I was kind of going over the sermon with her, and I was like, this next passage, it's Mary's Magnificat. And I says, Magnificat? She says, it won't matter. Your accent will take care of it. I said, what? I have an accent? She said, to them you do. 41, a transition. First time in my life, apparently, I have an accent. I got COVID a couple weeks ago. Trying to lend direction and vision in the midst of COVID. There is no playbook for this, except for this one. And I find that for me, drawing strength, I'm in several of these tiny groups that I mentioned. This last Wednesday at the Hub City Diner at 6:30, which is way too early, I'm finding. Over a cup of coffee, I met with two of your elders. I love their hearts for this church and even their hearts for me. And over coffee, as we studied God's word, I found myself immensely encouraged. It was going to be okay, and I didn't have any answers. Because Christ in them encouraged Christ in me. There is tremendous power in the saint, but not when they're alone. As we approach 2021, be asking the Lord, who should I be with in January and February and March? Not just to receive, but to give. And who can I go find to take with me? How do we find peace? These are things we know, but they are hard to do. and they bear being reminded over and over. We must be anchoring ourselves in God's Word. We must be leaning in to other followers of Christ. And last, how can you and I attain peace in this crazy, impossible world? You and I must embrace a posture of humility. Humility. Versus, I got this. I got this COVID. I got it. No problem. I'm just going to roll right through it. I love in the Magnificat that Mary acknowledges that she is not God. Look at 46. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my salvation." Mary was not her salvation. God was her salvation. And it rings true for us. Here in Mary's prayer, it's really a hymn of praise, a poem. She worships, and there are two things that we see all through this. The first is her posture, and the second is her praise. Her posture in verses 46 through 47 is one of a humble bond slave. The text, I looked it up. The word is doulos. It means slave. She is humbling herself. In 49 through 50, she praises. Look at 49. "For the mighty one has done great things for me." Friends, every one of us could look back and say that God has done great things for us. "For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him." That is us. We are that generation, and there will come more. And God's mercy rests on them. Mary praises. She states what God has done, who he is, and what she believes. And my friends, God is drawn to the humble and the helpless. It's like he can't resist himself. Look at verse 48. "For behold, he has regarded the humble state of his bondslave." Again, in 52, "He has brought down rulers and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has given help to Israel." God sides with the underdog. He sees the unknown, the nobody. Why? Because it makes God look good. And we get confused there, but God, in his very nature, is all about his own praise. Is that arrogant? No, he's God. He, by definition, he is to be worshipped. All through this, it talks about that God is opposed to the proud and the self-reliant. Why is that? Because the self-reliant do not worship their Savior. So what can we do? There are two tools that protect from pride or drive humility. The first is pruning. And nobody likes that. That's God's business. Pruning. But the second one we can enter in on, and that is praise. Pruning and praise drive our hearts into a position of humility. In the midst of the impossible, we need to choose humility that is cultivated by praise. Here, the Magnificat, all it is Mary praising God. She creates space and she visits Elizabeth and she takes time to write a song of praise. My friends, this December, a unique December, a busy December like all the rest, will you choose to take time to worship your Savior? Will you take time to realize that your Savior came to die for you? Two ways to worship, and I want to be real specific here. If the shoe fits, wear it. First, create space. Yesterday, I was on the back porch with Kath having a conversation. I said, "Babe, my soul feels so hurried. My soul feels hurried." Maybe some of you can relate. You know what a hurried soul does not do well? It doesn't worship well. It's hurried. I said, "Babe, what should I do?" And I've married a bride that usually has an answer. She looked at me and she said, "I think you need to take a break from social media." She goes, "You can post those cute little stories and your sock thingies, but you need to quit scrolling Facebook." You know what my response was? Are you ready for this? My first impulse? Pride. "No, I don't need to do that. I got this. I can absorb all of that and be just fine." And then she talked to me a little more and I said, "You know what? I think you're right." So Michael, in December, won't be scrolling Facebook or Instagram or all those other things that I could be on. Because I want to worship the Lord well. I want space to worship Him. The second way is to take time. Catherine and I, since we were first married, every year at this time we would go to Starbucks. And at Starbucks, we would create a list. We called it the best of times and the worst of times, from Charles Dickens. And Catherine loves a good cup of coffee, especially if it's expensive, so I'd buy her one. And she'd be the scribe, and we would sit and talk, and we would just put all of these things down. I have all the way through 2012. I've got a sheet for every year, and then in 2012, we moved to the middle of nowhere, and there was no Starbucks. Sad. But you know what? Times have changed. And this year, Catherine and I, it may be Cece's, will end up at a coffee place without our kids. Hallelujah. I love you guys, really. I just need time with mommy. And we will sit down and we will make a 2020 list. Because good things did happen in 2020. And they were of the Lord's hand. Just for fun, as I close, about 10 of you in this room, if you look under your seat, there's a little envelope. You don't have to go to the side. You can just look down the front. I see one right there on that front aisle. Yeah, go ahead, look. It's fun. It's Christmas time. We can do. You may need to look at the seat next to you. Now, I don't know really where these are, but if you find one, hold it up just for fun so that I'm not making stuff up. Who got one? Oh, yeah, look at there. Looky there. All right, 10 of you have been blessed by Trinity with a $5 CC's gift card. If the economics had been better, who knows? Here's the deal. If you got a card, you need to make a list. And if you don't have time to make a list, you need to gift somebody with that card and explain to them what it's about. How can you and I find hope in the midst of the impossible? Anchor yourself in God's Word. Lean into His people and do whatever it takes to cultivate a heart of praise. Let's pray. Father, in the midst of what is always a busy season, and yet the time that we remembered that you loved us so much that you came to earth as a baby and would eventually die for us, and that there will be a day where you return. Father, in the time when we try to bring that into focus, into our minds and heart, Lord, may we be a people who are intentional to seek peace, not as the world understands it, but as Jesus defines it. And Lord, may that result in great worship and praise of you. It's in the great name of Jesus we pray. Amen.